Today on Real Life Radio.
I don't have to panic or be deceived. I don't have to blow Satan up bigger than what he is, but I also don't have to deny his existence. Mm-hmm. I can look at the Word of God and realize he is a defeated foe, and that he can be managed by me, the believer, if I appropriately use the Word of God, if I apply the Bible rightly.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Real Life. On today's very special edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack and I get to have a rare sit-down to discuss his new book, Temptation, The Battle of Your Life. From the very beginning with Adam and Eve to Jesus Christ himself being tempted in the desert, temptation has been a part of the human experience in its entirety. The ability for a Christian to resist temptation is paramount to our faith and life. You know, it's no wonder we could all use a little help with temptation sometimes. And here to do that is me, David Jay, and Pastor Jack Hibbs. Pastor Jack, man, it's good to see you.
It is great to see
you. I'm not kidding you.
And for those who don't know, of course, for those who can't see, we are actually in studio together right now, which is a gigantic treat for me.
Yeah, usually we do a Zoom call or, you know, a double audio sort of thing, but we're sitting side by side. Feet up, by the way. That's kind of cool.
Feet up. My feet are actually up, and it's great to have you in studio because what you, the listener, you don't know is... Davey here is basically traveling the world all the time,
and, yeah,
and he's a very busy guy and very successful, and God's blessed him immensely, and so really happy. We've friends for decades.
That's true. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and he's my chiropractor, right? And I kind of looking around the room, and I just met this guy. Looking around the room, and I looked at him, I go, "You're a believer, aren't you?" He says, "Yeah." He says, "I'm a believer in Christ." I said, "Me too." He says, "Where do you go to church?" I said, "Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills." And he's like,
come on.
So he says, I said, "Yeah." I said, "I've been going there since there were 200 people." That's the truth.
Oh,
down the street.
Yeah, that's right.
Down the street. When I showed up at first, there were 200 people. And, and that's changed a lot over the years, hasn't it? Yeah, it's good to see you.
It's good to see you.
But anyway, let's jump into this. You're doing a book series, and it's kind of cool. I got to admit to you, I'm not much of a reader. I read 30 seconds, I read 60 seconds, and then I go home, right?
Yeah.
But I read with this book, Temptation, cover to cover in one shot.
You read all three pages.
No, like 80 pages-ish, right?
Something like that? Yeah, it's like 85 pages, something like that, by design. And here's the reason why. I hear that a lot from people, Davey, what you just said.
Yeah.
It's not that they don't want to sit down and read a book.
Right.
You know, today, by the way, if you happen to look up what the size of a book is legally, it's something around 230 to 250 pages.
Yeah.
So what is this? Well, in a very demeaning way, you would call it a pamphlet, but that doesn't sound I'm not going to go, "Hey, let's go get a pamphlet." No, it's intentionally small. In fact, it is the first book in what we are creating as the Pocket Power series. You see, what is that? It actually fits in your back pocket, and yet it's 80 to 90 pages regarding issues and topics that apply to your life immediately.
Yeah.
So it's an immediate application of biblical truth that you can carry around in your pocket. You can put it, you know, in your car. You can put it in your kid's backpack. Whatever it takes. It's simple. It is very portable, and we're excited. So the first topic is temptation.
Temptation. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, when I was reading it, right, the vibe that I got was, is this something Pastor Jack preached? Is this something you taught from the pulpit?
Yeah, it is. Actually.
Okay. All right. Because it's just, I mean, it seems like I'm sitting there listening to you when I'm reading the book, which is cool because I like listening to your stuff.
Yeah, and that's actually how authorship should be. You should be able to hear my voice.
Yeah, I like that.
In the book. And so that is very true. Thank you for saying that. So, temptation. It's really a takeoff on Luke's gospel, chapter 4.
Because
Jesus confronted Satan. Technically, Satan confronted Jesus. And Jesus absolutely dealt with him the way that we're supposed to deal with Satan, and that is the Bible.
Right.
How did he use it? Why the Bible? And how can we get this happening in our own lives? And so that's why it's just so practical.
So let's talk about, the book is called Temptation. What exactly inspired it? Was it Luke chapter 4?
Luke chapter 4, going through that study in the Gospel of Luke. It's something to where I know I was happily asked by a lot of people. So I just heard that sermon. How do I do this?
Yeah.
And so it made sense. You know what? We need to write this on temptation. And then halfway through writing it, it just dawned on me, wait a minute. This book, you know, pre-release booklet that I'm working on, it fits in the back of my pocket. I mean, I accidentally literally put it in the back of my Levi's. And it fits so perfect that it dawned on me, and I picked up the phone and I called guys and I said, we're going to do a Pocket Power series.
That's the way things come about like that, isn't it?
Isn't that true?
Yeah.
So we're pretty excited because Temptation's the first one. Fear, everybody can relate to fear with COVID and whatever else is coming today.
What else?
But regarding time, your resources, prayer, right? We're going to have this wonderful volume of these topics that are really, let's put it this way, the top 10 or the top 20 biggest issues of your day-to-day life.
Like it.
Yeah. So
the subtitle of the book is The Battle of Your Life. What do you mean by that exactly?
Yeah, exactly that. Because here's the deal. Satan throws at us constantly temptations. We all need to remember this. Temptations are not a sin. Satan tempted Jesus. It's not a sin until you take the bait.
Right.
So Satan's going to do what Satan does. He's a great devil, by the way. He's a fantastic devil.
Really good at it.
He's fantastic at
it.
And he knows how to tempt you and me in certain areas, okay? So, for example, Davey, I know you.
Yeah.
You and I both love private airplanes, small. I mean, just for the record,
two-seaters,
I don't have an airplane. But I have a couple of models. But I got my pilot's license in 1983, and I love airplanes. I know that you love airplanes. And so it could be a temptation from Satan for us to spend too much time thinking about airplanes. See, well, airplanes aren't sinful. No, they're not sinful. But when Satan uses something, and this is how he works so often, he'll use something that we're familiar with, and he'll magnify it. He'll enlarge it. It's almost like he blows it up like a big punching bag to get our attention. And we wind up spending too much time watching that action show.
Yep.
The action show's not a sin. It's that we spent 3 hours binge watching it.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
I know exactly what
you're saying. We don't even think about that, but any way he can keep us from the Word of God works for him.
Wow. You know, I got to tell you this, and I'm confessing right now. I found myself yesterday after 2.5 hours on YouTube, right? I'm going to bed and I literally said to myself, I didn't touch my Bible today. I did all this time on YouTube and I didn't touch my Bible today. I was convicted.
You know, it's awesome. The preciousness of the fact that you being a child of God, the Holy Spirit gave you that nudge.
Yeah, isn't that true?
And really what he was saying was, hey, Davey, I wanted to meet with you today.
I wanted to hang out with you.
And you got, So, man, that is so true. Listen, everybody that's listening to us right now, they can say, well, yeah, YouTube's not my thing, but
there's a thing.
It's, you know, there's a thing.
There's a thing.
There's an absolute thing. And so. So this Pocket Power series, starting with Temptation, The Battle of Your Life, it's going to open up, I believe, your mind to the nuances and the little things. Solomon said to us, watch out, because it's the little foxes that spoil the grapes. Everybody's looking for the wolf, right? While the little foxes are eating all the grapes up.
Oh, let me ask you something real quick. When I read it last night, I read Luke chapter 4 again, when Jesus went into the wilderness. I've always assumed that Jesus went into the wilderness and hung out, and then Satan comes along one day right at the very end. Is that not true? Jesus was tempted the 40 days and 40 nights, right?
Well,
or does it even matter?
I believe, no, it does matter, but consider it this way. The Bible says the Holy Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Right, to be tested.
Right.
Which is remarkable. It says that he didn't eat or drink. Now, that's not humanly possible.
Right.
The only other character we know of this happening is Moses on the mountain with God. God physically sustained Moses. Yeah. We never hear about Moses being hungry. We never hear about Moses being thirsty. God sustained him. What's interesting about Jesus is that when he was in the wilderness, the word says that at the end of the 40 days, he was hungry. You say, what, are you kidding me? Mm. Wasn't he hungry for, I would have been hungry in the first 40 minutes.
Day one.
Right?
Sure.
He was suffering physically from the beginning. He's being tempted and tested from the beginning. But when it says in Luke, at the end of 40 days, he was hungry, that word implies that he was now dying.
Okay.
Jesus was literally now at the point of starving to death. Why? Why at that? What's the big deal? It's at that moment that Satan came to him and said, why don't you turn these rocks into bread? Aren't you hungry? Aren't you the Son of God? Oh, and by the way, while we're at it, why don't I take you up to the pinnacle of the temple and show you all the kingdoms of the world?
Right.
And you can have them right now. You don't need to suffer anymore. I'll give them to you.
Yeah.
Jesus was tempted for real. This is not some funny little story we're hearing.
Right.
This is truly real. He suffered through the entire 40.
Yeah.
But Satan knew when to attack. And that should be a lesson to us. You and I may be suffering, but there's a moment when the enemy knows, okay, now Davey is about at his breaking point.
Right.
This is where I'm going to level. I'm going to bring the bat at this moment.
Mm.
And that's where the word of God for us truly, literally becomes our one and only strength.
Isn't it interesting when you read this over and over again, as I have, you realize that Jesus came against Satan with the word of God, right? Which is exactly what you and I can do, right? I mean, we can do it. And I just love the fact that Jesus looked back at Satan and said, look, here's what the scripture says. Here's what you have to deal with.
In fact, I love what you just said. Jesus responded every time, it is written.
It is written, yeah.
It is written. Isn't that amazing? This is God in skin.
Yeah.
Dealing with a created angelic being.
Right.
Think about it.
Yeah.
Satan is not eternal. He was created. Jesus is eternal. God's eternal.
Uh-huh.
If you and I would have been in Jesus' sandals, we would have pulled out some pixie dust or flicked Satan with our finger and knocked him out or killed him or obliterated him, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Jesus shows us the example of how we are to really fight the enemy. We so underestimate this. I mean, we're in this room right now.
Right.
And we've been doing this for a long time. We still don't get it. Jesus taught us that if you really want to handle the devil as human beings, mm-hmm. I've given you the power.
Mm-hmm.
And the power is in the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
So when you are attacked by the enemy, and that attack is that really cute girl that keeps bothering you, or that really handsome guy that keeps coming over to your cubicle, or that thing about just gamble that last few bucks you've got.
Yeah.
Whatever your thing is, he knows.
Yeah.
The fact is, he tells us, Jesus says, it's all there written for you to fight back. You don't need to pop a pill. You don't need a martini, and you don't need some 5-step seminar on how to be happy about things. Mm-hmm. It's the word of God.
He wasn't doing anything really out of the realm of what you and I can do, right? I mean,
that's true.
We all know that he was 100% God there in the wilderness, but he was also 100% human.
True.
And when he was tell me if I'm right or wrong, when he was interacting with Satan, he was 100% human, right?
That's right.
He was reacting as a human being, right?
Not only are you correct on that, theologically, that is absolutely a fact. What he's showing us is what Adam should have done.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Adam should have responded to Satan like Jesus responded to Satan. That's why, by the way, Adam is called the first Adam in the Bible, and Jesus is called the last Adam. Think of that.
Yeah.
Jesus modeled for us in our humanity how we are to live our lives. And he says, this is how you do it. It's written.
Isn't that great?
Read the book.
Okay. Speaking of written, let's talk about the book Temptation one more. Just focus a little bit on that. Chapter 4 is my favorite chapter. Know your enemy. Okay. Chapter 6, my other favorite, know your God. Jump on that for me for a second, would you?
Yeah. In everything in life, from just growing up as a kid, I mean, every guy would imagine, I don't know how many girls had to go through this, but any young man knows that you're going to have an enemy on the playground.
Right.
I mean, I don't care what school you go to.
Yeah.
Oh, my kids go to a Christian school. There's going to be an enemy on the playground. And it could be Brutus or somebody else.
Yeah.
There's always a bully.
Right.
I don't care what you say. You learn to realize that, wow, from the earliest moments of my memory, there's enemies in some way, shape, or form. The great thing about what we can learn from enemies, and of course in a biblical context, is that the Bible tells us we have enemies.
Yeah.
The Bible shows us.
Right.
First of all, doctrinally, it teaches us that we have enemies. The Bible tells us that some of those enemies are physical, some are invisible. For example, Satan is like a lion. He's not a lion. He's like a lion roaming around seeking who he may devour. Satan's invisible. That's an enemy. But at the same turn, there are people in life.
Mm-hmm.
There are issues of life.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we cope with these things? The answer is, know your God.
Yeah.
If we know what God has communicated to us, then like David, we know how to deal with enemies.
Yeah.
We don't need to be afraid. And we can actually, like David, run toward the giants in our lives, trusting God to take care of us because God's made that commitment to us.
Yeah. You just sparked in me the fact that when David went against Goliath, his armor didn't fit. Man, I can come up with a million different excuses why not to take on what God's given me. My armor doesn't fit. David didn't bother with that, right?
In fact, it was Saul's armor.
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And it's beautiful that it didn't fit. It's fantastic that it didn't fit because then maybe Saul could have taken some of the glory. Hey, David.
Yeah.
By the way, great armor,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
No, I mean, David's out there with his whatever he was wearing. Wasn't much, I would imagine.
Yeah.
With this sling and stones and was able to wrought a great victory for God and his people. And everything about David's actions, I think this is so precious. David was young, but David had learned being a shepherd that his job was to protect the sheep, and he was all in on that to the point where he killed a bear and he killed a lion. So now he's looking at this giant who's mouthing off and making fun of Israel and Israel's God. And David says, what's going on here? We got to stop this loud mouth.
Yeah.
God, this is not right.
Yeah.
And when you read that portion of scripture, David runs. He runs toward Goliath.
Right.
I mean, think about that.
Yeah.
You know, they tell us that he's somewhere between 9 feet, 9.5 feet tall. David ran toward him.
Yeah.
And I want to believe that when David let that rock fly out of that sling, I just see in my cartoon mind, I see an angel holding that rock and just basically, you know, turbocharging that rock into Goliath's forehead. The fun part, this is a side note.
Yeah.
As far as we can tell, when we read the scripture there, the giant didn't die from the rock hitting his head. It says it goes into his skin. It goes into his skull, right?
Right.
But we're not sure if he's dead. It says that he falls down. But this we know for sure. It says that David cut off his head.
Yeah.
So I personally believe that the stone hit the giant in the head, Goliath, knocks him out, falls down, and then the fun part starts. And the fun part is David gets up there. I say gets up there, probably stands on his chest.
Yeah, good point.
And walks that big blade back and forth like a kid using a saw and gets the victory. How could he do that?
Yeah.
Because his God had always come through for him.
David knows his enemy.
He knows.
And knows his God.
Amen.
Chapter 4 and chapter 6 in the book Temptation. Okay, so let me throw this at you real quick, okay? The only thing that I envy about young people is youth, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't envy this world of temptation that they're facing. I don't know about you, Pastor Jack. I didn't face this kind of temptation on the level that young people are today, right? It seems more morally challenging than when you and I were young. So what are young people to do? What are parents to do?
You know, you think about people who doubt the Bible.
Yeah.
And I would encourage them to take a look at the Bible and see what it says about the days as we get further down the road, right, in time.
Yeah.
And we get closer to what the Bible calls the end.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible lays out in great detail what the atmosphere what the culture, what the societies would look like. And everything we're seeing globally is textbook, ancient scriptures written. Yeah. It's all coming to pass.
Isn't that true?
Yeah. And somebody who doesn't know the Bible say, no, pastor, that's a bunch of baloney. It's not baloney at all. It's exactly right. Jesus is the one who said, oh, by the way, in the last days, just before I come back,
yeah,
there's going to be global wars and rumors of global wars.
Yeah, guess what we got going on
now? Yeah. He said, right before I come back, there's going to be ethnic groups warring against ethnic groups. Mm-hmm. He said, because men's love for other mankind, right, men?
Yeah.
Citizen loving citizen, neighbor loving neighbor, will grow cold. He said, that's going to happen because no one's going to love anybody anymore. So, so Jesus warned us what it would look like. So yeah. Here we are now looking into the faces of our children and our grandchildren.
Hmm.
And my heart gets sick.
Yep.
Because I'm an older guy. I've lived my life. If I die today, I'm happy.
Yeah.
But I look at their precious faces and I see a world out there that is bent on molesting their mind.
Yeah.
And if not their body.
Yeah.
We're living in a very sick age. The only hope for our nation or whatever country you might be living in right now is a spiritual revival among God's people. Because let's all realize this. The answer is not coming through politics. Mm. Have we not learned that by now?
Yeah.
The answer is not going to come out of the White House.
True.
It's not going to come out of the State House.
Yeah.
But God has given us the answer in His house and in the Word of God.
Is there something that maybe isn't so obvious with the book Temptation that you're hoping the real life audience would get from reading this book? What do you want people to walk away with once they've read the book?
I want people to walk away with the fact that the Jesus that we profess to believe in is the same Jesus that said Satan's real. You know, a lot of polls today tell us that, quote, Christians believe in God, but they don't believe in the devil.
Interesting, really?
Well that's a problem because God himself references the devil, and Jesus confronted him head on. So I want people to take away an understanding that I don't have to panic or be deceived. I don't have to blow Satan up bigger than what he is, but I also don't have to deny his existence. Mm-hmm. I can look at the Word of God and realize he is a defeated foe, and that he can be managed by me, the believer, if I appropriately use the Word of God, if I apply the Bible rightly.
I love it. I love it. Pastor Jack, I want to talk about probably my favorite chapter in the book. It's called Know Your Enemy.
Yes.
It kind of hit me between the eyes. And, you know, quite frankly, I hope it hits a lot of folks between the eyes because, you know, if you're going to be in a battle, which we are in a spiritual battle, you got to know your enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Let me read a few minutes from that chapter.
Okay.
We hear very little today about Satan, and consequently, many who recognize Satan's existence and acknowledge that he is the enemy of their souls are ill-prepared to meet him. In The Screwtape Letters, author C.S. Lewis pens a series of letters between two demons bent on neutralizing a Christian in whom they had taken a particular interest. In a graphic way, Lewis gives us insight into Satan's tactics. His master plan requires us to listen. When the devil or his demons speak to us, they don't use a spooky voice. If they sounded like that, we'd recognize it. Instead, the tone is reasonable. It sounds familiar. When I hear the devil's voice in my head, it sounds like me, like something I would say to myself. For example, I'm not feeling happy today. I'm feeling kind of let down. And then he whispers, oh yes, you are way down. The more you listen to that voice, the further he'll lead you along that path with, yes, and what about all that's before you? And how about all that's happened to you in the past? Remember that? No one really cares about you, not even God. And so, the downward spiral begins. Now he has subtly led you to an exact place where he wants you. Know what your enemy is saying. It's all about you. Well, that was a section taken from Pastor Jack's new book, Temptation, The Battle of Your Life. I really like that book. Get your copy today for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. One more time, jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com.
Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.